Good morning. Welcome to Gardening Today on News Radio 1040 WHO. Aaron Style and Jessica Krupica here in the studio today. We have a very special guest here talking about her garden that's going to be on the Polk County Master Gardener Gardeners Tour. Rita Pera, right? Is it Pera?
Paria.
I am so sorry.
Not a problem.
Everybody says my last name wrong too. So thank you for being here, Rita. We're really happy to have you in the studio.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here today. Thank you for having me.
And we are going to be talking a little bit about the Polk County Master Gardeners Garden Tour, which is next week. But before we do some of that, I want to say happy Father's Day out there to
Absolutely.
All those dads. Hopefully you get a chance to, if you didn't do it yesterday, you get a chance sometime today to get out and enjoy the really nice outdoors. And I want to remind folks, too, that all dads get in for free at Ryman Gardens today. So if you're in the Iowa State University area up in Ames, by all means, stop in. Dads get free admission today. So
wonderful.
And I know,
check that out.
We've been real busy in our gardens. This was a pretty good week to be outside working. I'm sure it's a great week to get ready for a garden tour, right?
Oh, absolutely. The weather has been so cooperative. Yes.
Well, hopefully it will be nice and cooperative next week. What have you been up to today or this last week, Jessica?
We have been weeding and weeding and weeding. So now is the time for cultivating lots of grape vegetables. So we've been busy with that. It just seems like the weeds aren't taking a break. But, you know, that's okay. We've been harvesting some spinach and some of the early season crops, and it's been going really well. And like you said before, the weather has been fantastic this week.
Yeah, not too hot, and it just really nice outside. We had a program up at Ryman Gardens where we grow this small vegetable garden with a group of kids that participate in the program. It's in our children's garden, and we grow this little vegetable garden, and it looks fantastic right now. And this year we got ahead of things, and we made sure we had a nice fence to put up to keep the rabbits off of it, which is, of course, a must in most gardens, especially up at Ryman Gardens. And we already have little bitty tomatoes. Now, granted, we did get some starts from the grad student plant sale. The horticulture grad students did a plant sale this year, and
really?
They gave us some of their leftover vegetables for this kid's garden. And so they were fairly large by the time we got them. So we already have little tomatoes on some of them, which is kind of exciting for the kids. And we were harvesting radishes and eating them, and seeing a four-year-old eat a radish for the first time is always always really a lot of fun. Is it spicy? Yes, it's spicy.
Yeah, yes.
You need small ones, and it's still a little spicy for a four-year-old. Well, we want to remind you that we are here to answer all of your calls or comments. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-469-4295 is the number to get a hold of us at. That's 1-800-469-4295. In the local Des Moines area, you can call us at 284-1040. That's 284-1040. And we do have the text line open. So if you'd rather just send us a text, it's a simple question or just a quick comment, we'd love to hear from you that way too. 515-989-1040. So, Rita,
yes.
I have some photos. I got some photos. I got a whole bunch of photos. Okay. Earlier this week to put up on our website at whoradio.com, and they are beautiful. You have a beautiful garden.
Thank you. I love my garden.
Well, describe to our listeners, I mean, a picture's worth a thousand words, and you can see the picture up on our website, but to describe some of our listeners what your garden's all about.
Absolutely. My garden, the style of gardening that I do, I call it contemplative gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So it really invites mindfulness, not only with gardening as a meditative process, but also in each garden room. And I have 13 garden rooms in our yard, 13 garden rooms which invite mindfulness. It invites a place to sit and contemplate, reflect, reconnect, rejuvenate, connect with your inner self, connect with your higher power. I tell people that gardening is actually my art. It's mm-hmm. my creative expression, and you can see that when you tour the garden. You'll be able to see that. I mix the colors and blend the colors and of all of the plants and the things that I have. But it's also a spiritual practice for me. So I hope that when you come to visit the gardens, you will see that and you will feel that.
Well, and you can see some of that in the pictures. I can't imagine what it's like when you actually visit. And if folks are interested in coming into the garden tour, what do they need to know?
Absolutely. Well, the garden tour is next Saturday. It's June 21st, and it's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's going to be rain or shine. Mm-hmm. So if it looks like rain, bring an umbrella. And there are some places that you can go to get tickets. You need to have a ticket, and with that ticket, you'll get a wristband, and you need to have a wristband to be able to tour all of the gardens. When you purchase your ticket, which is only $15, mm-hmm. you will get a brochure, and they're doing something a little differently this year, which I think is pretty exciting. You'll get a full color brochure with descriptions of each gardens, but also lovely photos of the gardens.
Oh.
And so it's really a self-guided tour. You drive from garden to garden. There are 8 gardens on the tour. We did a pre-tour yesterday, so all of the master gardeners who were involved in the garden tour hopped on a bus, and we went from garden to garden to garden, and we got to see everybody's garden and all of the different styles, and there is truly something for everyone mm-hmm. on this tour.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have all of this information, including where you can buy the tickets, up at our website at whoradio.com. It's a lot of local garden centers and nursery establishments, so you can find that list there. In general, the several of the Earl May locations, Herndon's, Feed and Seed, right?
Yes.
Goods Greenhouse, I think, was one of
them
on the list.
Yes, the Woodsmith Shop or uh-huh. the Woodsmith Store. Uh-huh. Yes. You can also take a look at our PCMGTour.com
yep.
website and find all of the information there.
Very good. And, you know, I think one of the things that is to be very appreciated when you visit all of these gardens on the tour, including yours, is how much time goes into preparing for a garden tour. Because it's not just like when somebody tours your house and you run around and you clean the bathroom and you sweep up all the dust bunnies in the corner. I mean, how long have you known you were going to be on the tour this year?
We found out the selection committee came by last year, right mm-hmm. after the garden tour ended, and then we found out in early July of last year. So we've literally been preparing for a year.
Yeah.
It's been a great, joyful experience, though. You know, it was really important for us to get all of those little projects done that we'd just been putting off. And, you know, this was just a great way to make sure that those deadlines happened. And I'm very, very pleased with the whole experience. And, you know, hats off to this Garden Tour committee. They have been spectacular to work with, as well as everybody in the Master Gardener program.
It takes a lot of planning to do
yes.
a garden tour, because
yes.
like I said, I mean, you've been preparing your garden for over a year, and
yes.
anybody who's been on a garden tour or has gone on one as a participant can see that in the way that these gardens look, because they really are just amazing places.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, very, yes. very cool. And I know that, as I said before, there's more information about this tour up on our website at whoradio.com, including pictures. And I really, if you get a chance to look at these pictures, it was really funny because she sent so many pictures that they came in several emails. And I got all these emails with just photos in them before I got the email that explained why I was getting emails with photos in them. And I got these photos, and honest to God, I saw the first set and I was like, who is this person and why are they sending me these pictures? But this looks really nice. I wonder what this is all about. And it does. Some of these photos, they look like a magazine cover. So that's just really, really wonderful. Now, I know that the garden tour focuses on different areas mm-hmm. of the metro mm-hmm. each year. Mm-hmm. What part of town is your garden in all of the gardens that are on tour this
yes,
year?
Yes, yes. This year, we live south of Grand, and our neighborhood is called the Linden Heights neighborhood,
uh-huh.
and we're the only garden in that neighborhood. There's another garden in, I believe it's called the Westwood neighborhood, which is also south of Grand.
Uh-huh.
We have 2 gardens in the Waterbury area, and then 3 gardens in the Kingman, Drake area.
Okay.
So it's spread out, but it's in that section of the city.
Yeah, kind mm-hmm. of just west and south of downtown.
Yes,
okay.
yes.
Very
yes,
good.
Yes.
And so I'm sure, what are some of the What are some of the plants that you're really excited about, or some of the features in your garden that you're really excited to show folks when they visit?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I've labeled all of the garden rooms, and so I've put signs up everywhere, very nicely developed professional-looking signs, and they will help people go through the garden in a systematic way and be able to know what they're looking at. I've attempted to label all of the plants as well. That's the natural educator in me coming out, because I want people to be able to know they can do this in their yard. You know, the name of the tour is Extraordinary Gardens by Ordinary People. And the purpose of this tour and the Master Gardener program is to educate people.
Yeah.
And so in my yard, they'll be able to see one of my favorite plants is the Plantagenea hosta, which gets very, very large. It's the old species originally from China. Gets very large. It has kind of a light green color. I love it because it blooms in August, and it has a beautiful fragrance. It smells like lilies. And so they'll see a lot of that in my yard. I also have a collection of hellebores. Some people call them helibores. I have about 50 hellebores. I love them. They're part of the buttercup family.
Right.
Originally bred in Europe. And I have some German bred hellebores. I have some from the Gold collection. And those are mostly shade plants. I have several that are still blooming right now.
Oh, very good.
One of the things I love about hellebores is that they bloom early in the winter. They're also called the Linton rose and the Christmas rose because they bloom during the winter, sometimes when the snow is still on the ground. And of course, with the brutal winter we had, things are a little late this year. So luckily for the garden tour participants, my hellebores are still blooming.
Wonderful.
So people will be able to see those. Yes, yes. Oh,
very good.
A couple of the garden rooms that I have. I have don't miss the Garden of Compassion. It's in the front of the house, and I'll talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we are going to get a chance to talk more with Rita. She's going to be with us for the whole show today up until noon. So we're going to get a chance to talk with her and answer your questions. But first, we need to take this break. We'll be back to talk with Rita and talk about more gardening here on Gardening Today, News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome back to Gardening Today. I'm Jessica Kropika here in the studio with Aaron Style, and we are very happy. We have a special guest here, Rita Perea, and she is talking about her garden as part of the Polk County Master Gardens Gardeners Tour. So lots of great photos up on our website. Be sure to check that out. Some gorgeous containers, just... It's really mind-blowing, I think, is probably the best way to describe it. It is gorgeous. And I see on some of here, on some of these photos here, you have a lot of different containers and some... What do you like to do with your containers? What kind of container... What do you use for plants in a lot of your containers?
Oh, I garden... Generally, I garden a lot with perennials, but containers allow me to mix and match with annuals, and that's really fun to do. I also like to put edibles in containers, and so when you come up to my relaxation garden area, you'll see that I have some little heirloom tomato plants in some containers up there, as well as some succulents. Two of the really cool things that I have in the front garden, in the Garden of Compassion, I have some whipcord red cedars, which are beautiful.
Those are fun.
Yes, and they're standards. And so they're in very large pots. And then I have some Japanese forest grass, chartreuse colored, all around those. And it creates just a wonderful, magical feel. And then we have a Buddha statue, a Thai Buddha statue, and a fountain behind that in the backdrop. So just gorgeous.
Well, I think that brings up a good point that there's really no reason you can't use perennial plants in containers. What do you do with your plants over the winter? Do you leave them in the containers? Are they... Are you moving them to different spots in your garden?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to have a greenhouse outside. It's 10 by 15, and we heat it over the winter, and so I'm able to overwinter my plants in the greenhouse. Those things that are a little too tender for the greenhouse, I bring those into the house.
Sure.
And I'm also fortunate enough to have an entire lower level called the garden room. Mm-hmm. It was a tuck under garage at one point, and I can overwinter things in there. So,
I think your basement looks a lot like mine in the winter. Does it have a lot of lights in it too, or not? Or do you have enough natural light?
I have a lot of natural light.
That's good.
Yes, yes. I do have some grow lights though, and it's a great place. You know, as well as the greenhouse, I can start some seeds early, and also in the garden room. So.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Lots of options there.
Yes.
I do. I love the Japanese forest grass, the Hakanakloa, in your containers. It is so beautiful, and it works so well with some of these containers you have picked out that people are going to be seeing during this garden tour. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I have another question for you.
Yes.
So I have a rough idea of where your garden is located, and I know it's in a part of town that is really heavy with deer.
Oh, yeah.
How do you manage? Because you got some stuff in there. I've seen some pictures. There's some stuff in there that deer like to eat.
Yes, they
do. So how do you work around those critters?
Yes. And we've had some rabbits before as well. We have some owls who I think have taken care of the rabbits, unfortunately or fortunately.
Yeah.
but we don't have a rabbit problem, so knock on wood. We call our street the Deer Superhighway because we live near the river, and they come up from the river, and they are fortunately running right past my front garden. It's a dry shade garden, so there are a lot of hostas and tender perennials that we call it deer salad, right? Mm-hmm. That deer like
That's
to eat.
Right.
What I've done is I've tried to manage them by putting deer-resistant plants, perennials, around the outer ring.
Okay.
So I put hellebores there, which of course are my favorite plants, as I've said, but they're also deer-resistant. And artemisia, we have some sunny areas where the artemisia will grow, and deer don't like that either. And so this year, they've stayed out. They've passed us right by and gone over to the neighbors. So
yeah, you know, I have seen this. I've seen some folks employ some of this kind of stuff before, because one of the things that deer are very habitual, and they do create basically little highways. And if you can manage to position yourself where you're not one of the stops along that highway, they tend to leave you alone. My house is the same story. My garden backs up to a deer superhighway, a river, and I constantly see deer across the street from my house, but for whatever reason, they have decided not to use my garden as the path between the two, and so they leave my garden alone for the most part. I also have a dog, so I think that helps a little bit, but it's nice to know that that's one of the ways that you, and you brought up a really great point, too, with the hellebores, because those plants are more deer resistant, and they do probably do really well in your shady part shade locations, right?
They do. My hellebores are very, very happy in my yard. They love it there. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you know, it gives hope to some people. Hopefully not false hope, but that you can, because I've seen celery stock gardens too, where the hosta get eaten off and all that's left is the little petiole, and it looks just like a bunch of celery stock. So I'm glad that's not something that you have to deal with in your garden. At least you figured out how to deal with it. Maybe that's a better way to put
Yes, yes. And, you know, we try to do everything organically and naturally, and I do all of the design, all of the install, all of the maintenance myself, with a little help with the hardscapes, of course. But we try to do everything in a very, very natural, safe way. I really believe in the philosophy, do no harm to any living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very, very respectful of the deer and the rabbit and everything else, all of the little moles and the little ground squirrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come to play sometimes, too.
So I think folks are going to wonder when they visit your garden how long you've been gardening at this location, because it hasn't been your entire life or anything like that, right?
I mean, no.
How long have you been working on your garden mm-hmm. to get it to this point?
Mm-hmm. So we moved into this house. It's a mid-century modern home built in 1951. Mm-hmm. We moved into this house in 2005, and my first year there, I didn't do anything. I focused on the interior, not the exterior. When we moved in, there was a lot of landscape fabric and river rock.
Oh, my favorite.
Yes.
Oh, I have that too.
And I didn't feel comfortable with the way that the landscaping looked. When I looked out from the house, mm-hmm. it felt kind of chaotic to me, and it was very uncomfortable. And I thought, well, I have to do something about this. You know, I want to make this, I just want to make this beautiful. I want to make it aesthetically pleasing. And so in 2006, I started moving some things around. Now, this is kind of a funny story. I went up to the, I think it was the Hy-Vee drugstore at the time, and it's on 42nd and University.
Yep.
And this was going to be my first attempt at putting some plants in. I was not a master gardener at the time, didn't know much about gardening, except my father was a gardener growing up, so I knew a little bit from him. And this was very late in the season. It was like July 3rd or 4th. And I saw all of these halfway dead plants outside on these, you know, these tables. And I picked up a few plants and took them in to check out. And the manager said, "See all of those plants out there?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "How much will you give me for all of those plants?" And I've got to tell you, there were hundreds of half-dead plants out there. Vegetables, perennials, annuals. And I looked at him and I said, "All of those plants?" And he said, "Yes, all of those plants. If you take them today, how much will you give me?" And I said, $22? And he said, "Sold."
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, I came home with truckloads of plants. And the only thing I knew how to do was to put some in, you know, the shade plants. Uh-huh. I knew had to go into the shade. The sun plants had to go into the sun. And so I put them all over the lawn and categorized them and just started planting things. And that was my first foray into my garden relationship, my art, if you will. I came to my senses in about 2008, 2009, and thought, you know, I really probably need to learn what I'm doing here.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's when two things happened. My son became really interested in horticulture, and he is now a certified arborist. He was doing a lot of helping with me in the gardens. And then I fell in love with the Master Gardener program and started to become a Master Gardener at that time.
Oh, that's great.
What a crazy start.
Yes, absolutely.
I need to shop at that Hy-Vee more often,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes, wow. Good deals.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take our next break. We'll be back to talk more with Rita and more about gardening here on Gardening Today. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning. Welcome back to Gardening Today. I'm Jessica Kropika here in the studio with Aaron Style. We wanted to remind you, if you have a gardening question or comment for us, you can go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-469-4295. If you're in the Des Moines, the local area, the phone number is 284-1040. Or if you would prefer, you can send us a text at 515-989-1040.
Yeah, and we did have a couple folks who joined us on the line here, so we're going to answer their questions here right now. We'll start with Ted. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, we have a roses shear, and I have them in the southeast corner of the house, and because of the winter, only about 10% of it came back this year so far.
Yep.
And I just kind of wondered if... so much just to pull out and replace, or if you think it might come back.
You know, Rosa Sharon's an interesting plant because it actually responds fairly well to some pretty hard pruning back. And so if the winter, whether you did that or the winter did that, it's likely that it will recover fairly well. So you can remove all the dead stuff. If it's dead, you can always remove it. If what's left leaves for a very weird looking shrub, you can always trim that up a little bit too if it really bothers you. But it should start to resprout from the base. Within a couple years, we'll probably be back to where it was before it all started.
Okay, good. Because I hate to cut it back. It's such a pretty bush.
Yeah.
I did trim a couple of small branches, and there's still whiter color, like there is still life on the inside there. It's not brown like it's dead, so that's why I was kind of wondering maybe I'd just leave it alone and see what happens.
Yep. Some folks actually do trim back their Rosa Sharon very hard every 3 or 4 years, like 6 to 12 inches, and it does recover from that fairly well. So
okay, great.
I don't think all is lost.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ted.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, you know, I actually tried to. So I think Rita, you'll appreciate this. So I moved into my house about a year and a half ago, and there's a lot of stuff there that I don't want. I have a lot of burning bush, and I have a lot of things that are kind of planted in funny areas. And so I've been working to kind of renovate my landscape and start adding new things. And one of the things that I had to remove was a Rosa Sharon. And I had one in another part of the yard, so I wasn't going to move it. I just decided to cut it back. And so I actually cut it back, and that sucker I had to spray 3 times before it died.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, and a lot of woody weeds you can manage by cutting them back and hitting them with something like Roundup. And they may resprout, and you just got to hit them again. And this sucker just kept coming back and coming back. So I think Ted will be okay. I don't know. Did you have, you know, so you said you moved into your house in, was it 2005?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a lot of lot to start with, or was it for the most part a pretty blank canvas?
There were some things that, first of all, because we live in south of Grand, we have some very stately trees.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an ancient juniper. It's still there. It's beautiful. I think it was original to the house. We have some wonderful old oak trees. We have a big, huge, beautiful black walnut tree in the backyard, which I might add is filled with plants. In fact, you can see in this photo, all of these plants are planted around that black walnut tree.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very fortunate that the things I'm planting there are growing. We had some things that I felt, as you said, were, you know, kind of sort of funky things, maybe not in the right place, maybe didn't add anything aesthetically. And so some of those things were moved. I try not to kill anything. So my plan of attack is to move them somewhere where I think that, you know, I can group them with something else or reuse them and hopefully not lose them. But you know, sometimes things just have to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
I don't like to do that very often, though. but for the most part, as I said, you know, a lot of landscaping fabric, a lot of the plastic that we talked about under
plastic.
The river rock. Yes, the plastic. And so it was, for me, it was a beautiful blank canvas that I saw the potential for. But it's taken me a long time to get it.
That's really
great. To this place.
Yeah. See, my stuff, I you know, I'm not going to move mulberries and buckthorn and honeysuckle.
Sure.
Those are my and burning bush. I have a lot of burning bush too, and I can do without that. So, that's. Tell us a little bit more about some of your garden rooms, because we had started a little bit. And you know, I think off air we were talking about how folks really perceive your yard to be much larger than it actually is. And we were talking about how that's probably because you have it divided up into these smaller spaces. But tell us a little bit about how you designed your garden that way.
Yes. One of the master gardeners on the pre-tour yesterday said, "Oh my gosh, this is like a state park." And I do believe that that's because we have 13 garden rooms, vignettes, if you want to call them that. When you get to my garden, you'll immediately go under an arbor and you'll go into the greenhouse and perennial area, and you'll go around to the edible area. Then we have a medicinal and herb garden area. I have a lot of seating spaces, so I have a sweet little bench with a concrete pagoda next to it, and I have some fennel planted in pots there. And then you'll move into another area that's called the Friends Garden. And those are the photos that you see on the website, the WHO website. This is our Friends Garden. And this is really a large space that we utilize for entertaining and having garden parties. It's contemplative. You can see the two chairs on the round patio. And we have a water feature there. We have some wind chimes. And it's a lovely space to just sit and relax and just look at the clouds go by, you know, just be mindful about all of the living things that are in our surroundings. Then once you leave the Friends Garden, you go up some stone steps, and we live on a hill, it's a slope, and it's, you know, swales and things, so it's been very challenging in that regard. But you go up the steps, and you have your choice. You can either go up our deck steps to the relaxation garden, or you can go forward, and you can go to the rain garden and the woodland garden.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes.
So even just describing it that way makes it sound like you have like acres of property out there.
Well, people could maybe think that, but really it's just a standard city lot. But everything's been planned very deliberately.
Well, and I also love that you call your outdoor entertaining space the Friends Garden. I don't know why that just sounds so nice.
Well, and we just want it to be inviting, and you can see in the photos on the website that everything was purposefully created to be so inviting so that our friends can come and enjoy our spaces as well.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit because the area of Des Moines in which your garden is located is a beautiful, established neighborhood. And one of the things that many folks have been seeing are cicadas in those established neighborhoods.
Yes.
It sounds like you are no exception.
Yes.
Those periodical 17-year cicadas. This is the year, and they are everywhere, and it sounds like you have quite a few of them in your yard, too.
We do. We do. Our cicadas are happy cicadas. They make a happy little noise when they're up in the trees. And I was just reading this morning in the Des Moines Register that one tree can have 40,000 cicadas in it. So we have a lot of old mature trees. Our cicadas have congregated in our front garden. There are very, very few of them, knock on wood, in the back gardens. I was sharing off air that last week I actually went around with a shop vac and we picked up about 50 pounds of cicada carcasses from that front garden. Yes, no lie. And the trash company took them off this week. I was so thankful about that. The cicada carcasses are gone now.
Right in time for the garden tour.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to take our next break. We'll be back to talk more with Rita and answer more of your questions here on Gardening Today. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning. You're listening to Gardening Today. I'm Jessica Kropika here along with Aaron Stile and our special guest, Rita Perea. And what are some of the details? We've been talking about your garden as part of the Polk County Master Gardener's Tour. What are some of the details about when and where and what to expect?
Absolutely. Well, the garden tour is next Saturday. It's June 21st, and it's open from 9 until 4 p.m., and it's going to be rain or shine. People need to buy advance tickets, and with their advance ticket for $15, they get a wristband, and they also get a full-color brochure with photos and descriptions of each garden, and there are actually 8 gardens on the tour this year, all very different in styles and beautiful.
Oh, very good. And if folks want more information about the Master Gardener Tour, there's a website, right?
Yes. It's P as in Paul, M as in Mary, PCMGtour.com.
Yeah, PCMG, yeah. Polk County Master yes. Gardeners, right?
Yes, yes. And they can also buy tickets at local garden centers, mm-hmm. Earl May, Good Greenhouses, Herndon's, and the Woodsmith Store.
Yeah, and so, and what's really great about this is that you get to see some great gardens. You get to be inspired by some of the things that Rita and the other folks who are on the tour have been doing, but you also get to support the Polk County Master Gardeners and their education efforts and their volunteer and service efforts. I know you guys maintain the Discovery Garden out at the State Fairgrounds, the Enabling Garden behind the Polk County Extension Office, as well as the Demonstration Garden out in Urbandale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hundreds of master gardeners put hundreds of hours into those places, and in an effort to teach folks about gardening and to beautify our city. So
absolutely,
this supports that, which is really, really wonderful. All right, we are going to take our next break here for the local and national news. We'll be back after about 8 to 10 minutes to talk more with Rita and to answer more of your questions and talk more about gardening here on this wonderful Father's Day. If you don't have a chance, please get out, enjoy the weather, go see the gardens. Ryman Gardens is free for Father's Day for all dads, so that's a great deal. So we'll be back in just a few minutes to talk more with Rita here on Gardening Today, News Radio 1040 WHO. Good morning. Welcome to Gardening Today on News Radio 1040 WHO. Aaron Style and Jessica Krupika in the studio this morning talking about all things gardening and specifically talking about the Polk County Master Gardeners Garden Tour coming up next Saturday on June 21st. And we are fortunate enough to have Rita Perea here in the studio with us to talk with us. I'm going to get your name right one of these times, Rita, I swear.
No worries, Aaron.
We are talking about her garden in particular, as well as all the gardens that are featured on this tour. We're also here to answer any of your phone calls. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-469-4295. That's 1-800-469-4295 in the local Des Moines area. Give us a call at 284-1040. That's 284-1040. And I do have the text line open. So if you have a quick comment or a quick question and you want to use a text instead, that is fine too. 515-989-1040 would be the number to text. We'd love to hear from you any of those ways. And I want to first give out a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And I'm sure my dad is listening in Dubuque. So happy Father's Day to him, too. And hopefully everybody gets a chance to get out and enjoy the weather this weekend. Maybe do a little bit of gardening. Maybe do a little bit of relaxing in that garden that you work so hard in. If you don't have a garden that you want to relax in, you can always go to a botanical garden, too. Ryman Gardens is open. The Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. All of these places are a wonderful stop for dad to appreciate all the things that he does and all the great advice he gives. And all the good gardening tips he's given all of us throughout the year, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So I do want to remind folks that we do have some information up on our website at whoradio.com. Some information about what's going on at Ryman Gardens. We have the Iowa Regional Lily Show at the gardens on June 28th, which should be a lot of fun. This is the first time the Lily Show has been at the gardens. It will be a great time to see some really beautiful flowers up and down the main hall of Ryman Gardens that day. Dads get in free today at Ryman Gardens, so that's great too. We also have, and this is what I really want to talk about, we also have photos of Rita's garden up on our website. It's just kind of a little taste of what you're going to get to see if you go on the tour next week. And it's just one of 8 gardens that are on the tour, right?
Yes, yes.
So, and it sounds like you guys went on a pre-tour just yesterday? Is that what you
yesterday.
Said?
Yeah. Yes.
So we've talked a lot about your garden. What really sparked some inspiration in you at some of your other gardens that are on the tour this year that you saw yesterday?
Mm-hmm. One of the gardens that I found to be most interesting I'm not sure what the master gardener calls her gardening style, but I would call it rustic.
Uh-huh.
She grew up in southwest Iowa, and she gets stuff from her grandfather, who still lives in southwest Iowa. And she reuses that reclaimed pallets and wood and bricks and things like that. And she's created a vegetable garden utilizing this stuff in her front yard.
Really?
And it's really interesting. She's just done a fabulous job with it. And she's located in the Drake neighborhood or the Kingman area. And that one was very interesting. In the back of the house, she has a beautiful deck, and she has luscious little living walls that, again, she's utilized these pallets and things and just created these really spectacular little places to sit and enjoy. So I thought that was very creative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I've seen folks do that with pallets before. You basically just turn the pallet on end and you add a board to create a little pocket in the back of it, right? Or something like that.
Yes, she has one of those, but she's also taken a pallet and turned it on end and somehow has attached some pots to it.
Oh, okay.
And then she created two Adirondack chairs made out of pallets.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was really creative. Yeah, yeah, just amazing ingenuity.
Yeah, so, and I think that's one of the nice things about this tour as well, is that it's a pretty diverse group of gardens. I mean, your gardening style is I would probably guess pretty dramatically different than this other garden in the Drake neighborhood, and yet there's something to appreciate at both of them.
Absolutely, and the garden tour is called Extraordinary Gardens by Ordinary People, and as master gardeners, it's our job to help educate people about all facets of gardening, including gardening styles.
Yeah, that's. I think that's really great, and that you can show folks this, and that there's eight different people who are willing to go through all the work to open their garden up for other people to go through. Because, I mean, you might not admit this, but it's a lot of work. I know how much work it is to put your garden on tour, and you know, you've been working on your garden for over a year or almost a year.
Yes.
And to get it ready for this.
Yes.
And so the fact that you guys are willing to open up your garden to folks to walk through and to be inspired by is really a very wonderful way to help raise money for the Polk County Master Gardeners and show what you guys do to the general public.
Absolutely. It's truly a selfless act to be part of this tour. And, you know, it's service above self, truly, because we believe in educating people about gardening and the love of gardening. And also with the very difficult winter that we had, so many of our gardeners on the garden tour lost things. And so the stories that we heard yesterday over and over were, well, back in this corner, it was lush and full, but as you can see, we had to take out every shrub we had because it was killed. So a lot of winter kill. And so many of the gardens are being reborn, if you will, which, you know, can be a wonderful opportunity too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what's so fun about gardening is that you are always put forth with some of these challenges. This the most prominent one this year has been our very harsh winter.
Yes.
But the whole act of figuring out what to do with that and taking advantage of it, and it's one of the reasons why gardeners are such great people, is that they always look at it as not I lost everything, but as instead an opportunity to try something new.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
That's
yes.
great.
A lot of creativity.
Absolutely.
And that's something I'd say about the entire tour. There is so much creativity with all of these eight gardens. It was absolutely amazing and very humbling to be with these wonderful master gardeners yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I know you have kind of a love for a certain group of plants, and I wondered if you would take a few minutes to let us talk to us a little bit of why you enjoy growing hellebores so much.
Yes.
And what is it about these plants that you think make them such wonderful garden plants?
Yes, absolutely. My first exposure to hellebores, I grew up in Ohio. about an hour south of Cleveland in a rural area. And there was a couple in Maple Heights, which is where my mother grew up in Ohio, and they actually self-published the first book about hellebores. And I believe their last names were the Lubinskys. And I have a copy of that book. It's called The Christmas Rose. And as a child, I got exposed to hellebores in some way. And so that kind of stuck in my mind. I became reacquainted with them through this process. Mm-hmm. And I love them because I call them winter's treasures, because they are early bloomers. Some of the cultivars can bloom during Christmas time. Some of them are called Lenten roses, the hellebore Niger, and it can bloom during Easter time. My hellebores, I have some right outside of my bedroom window. And so in February, I peek out the bedroom window every morning to see if my hellebores are blooming. And they will oftentimes be blooming when there's snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're evergreen. They're perennial plants, but they're evergreen, which means that their beautiful green leaves stay green all winter long.
Yeah.
And then you get these beautiful large buttercup-looking flowers in different colors that bloom in the snow. I mean, what could be better than that in the winter?
I know, right?
Yes.
Oh, and I always find that when you show somebody a hellebore for the first time,
yes,
especially when it's in the winter time, and they're like, it's green? And then
yes,
there's snow all around, because I mean, here in Iowa, there's not a lot of things that are green in the middle of winter.
Right, yes.
So to see something like that, that looks so tender. I mean, it's not a woody plant. It's not an evergreen with thick, waxy needle leaves. I mean, it is this, I mean, it's a pretty waxy, thick leaf, but it's still very, looks like a herbaceous perennial.
Yes.
And to see it green at that time of year is just kind of wild.
It is. It is. And I really like to garden for year-round appeal. And so in my garden, this really helps me with that year-round appeal,
yeah,
in the middle of winter. Yes.
Well, mm-hmm, and that's a good point, because in Iowa, if you don't garden for a year-round appeal, what, I mean, you're missing out a lot, because there is a lot of the year where we're not in our in our gardens every day. And to use things like hellebores or some of these other plants can be really, really beneficial in kind of expanding the interest that's outside and mm-hmm, and enjoying the outdoors, even when the outdoors aren't so enjoyable.
Absolutely. Maybe. Yes, yes, yes. One of my strategies is a lot of people cut things down in the fall,
mm-hmm,
and I just leave things up and do a big spring cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave my Annabelle hydrangeas up all winter. I think that they just make a fabulous backdrop for things in the winter. Very interesting texture.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Well, and the wildlife can appreciate it,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yes, yep, yes.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to take our next break. Paula, we see on the line there, we're going to get to you when we get back here, talk more with Rita, talk more about the Polk County Master Gardener Garden Tour, and answer more of your questions on gardening today. News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Gardening Today. I'm Jessica Kropika here with Aaron Style and our special guest, Rita Perea. And we're mentioning and talking about the Polk County Master Gardeners Tour, which is kind of a mouthful to say, but there's some gorgeous pictures up on our website of,
yeah,
Rita's garden, and she is going to be one of 8 gardens across Des Moines going to be featured in this tour. So more of the details are up where you can buy tickets and all sorts,
yeah,
of the details. Go ahead and look that up on our website today. But
yeah, and we'll talk more about it later in the program too. But I do want to talk with Paula here, who has a question or a comment, I'm not sure which, about the Polk County Master Gardeners. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I love your show. I wanted to share with your listeners that this coming Tuesday, June 17th,
uh-huh,
at 7 p.m., the Polk County Master Gardeners Enabling Garden is having a free talk. Our talks are called The Season of Learning, and it's going to be Nathan Brockman.
Yeah. Yeah, Nathan was telling me about this. Nathan is our butterfly wing curator up at Ryman Gardens.
Yeah, so we're so excited to have him come and present. He's going to talk to folks about flying, crawling, chewing, and sucking insects. So.
And it proves, I will guarantee you, it will be a good presentation. Nathan is a great presenter and knows so much about insects. It's always, I find myself interested in all the stuff he talks about. So I'm sure, you know, I'd like to think I kind of align with the people who'd be interested in this too. I'm sure everybody will enjoy it.
Well, I hope you can come down and join us then too. That would be great. But it's free to the public. Bring a lawn chair. The Enabling Garden is located behind the Altoona Hy-Vee store on First Street and First Avenue and First Avenue South. So it's right behind the Altoona Hy-Vee store is the easiest way to describe the location.
Well, wonderful. Perfect. Thanks for letting us know about that educational opportunity, Paula.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
All right. And I know Nathan was really excited to give that talk too, actually. He was talking about it with me a couple weeks ago, and I think he's got some good things planned. We did get a couple of text messages in too. So Rita, Jessica, you guys can chime in here if you'd like. The first one was from a listener in Des Moines. They asked, I have planted dianthus. Do I need to deadhead them? And please explain deadheading. So what do you think, Jessica?
You know, I mean, you could if you really wanted to and maybe, you know, had some time. But right. I think that you don't necessarily have to with the dianthus.
No.
They'll be fine.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't. It sounds like a lot of work to me. Of course, deadheading is the removal of spent flowers. And on a plant like dianthus, which tends to have kind of a carpet of flowers, it can be a pretty tedious task. I know some people will do things like use a hedge shears for plants like this to kind of cut off all the dead flowers. You may get a rebloom if you deadhead, although it would probably be pretty sporadic and not guaranteed. And judging on how late everything's been this year, it may not come before the end of the season for all I know. So it's probably not worth all the work, but it is something you could do, especially if you wanted it to look tidy. Of course, those dead little flowers can not look as tidy as we may like, but it's certainly not a necessity. Okay, the other question we got was from a listener in Britt, Iowa. When is the best time to harvest garlic scapes? We have heard they need to curl.
Okay.
First of all, describe a garlic scape.
Yes. Okay. The garlic scape is going to be the very top, kind of before the flower of the garlic. And when that sets, the garlic scape, you can kind of see it looks pretty crazy. You can see a little bit and it'll start to curl a little bit at the top. But those are used oftentimes in cooking. And the best time to harvest these garlic scapes is probably when you first see them. The earlier, the better, because they're going to be more tender. However, if they do kind of curl downwards, you might have to cut off a little bit more of the base because they're not going to be as tender. So kind of similar to like an asparagus, you know how it gets a little woody at the bottom, tougher? You could go ahead and do that. But of course, it's going to depend on your variety and type of garlic that you have planted.
So, I mean, this is basically the flower scape, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so you're harvesting the immature flower stalk as it comes up out of the garlic plant.
Yes.
Okay, so, and the earlier you harvest it, the better it's going to taste. And it usually does start to curl just a little bit like a shepherd's hook at the top, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, so, yeah, hopefully that helps our listener there about the garlic scape and can help them get them harvested at the right time.
Yes, you're probably going to be starting to see them at the farmers markets in the area.
Yeah.
A lot of people use them for stir fries or even cooking with eggs. It's delicious, has that nice, intense garlic flavor. If you're looking for that, if you're a garlic fan, check them out.
Perfect. All right. And we did have Daniel join us. So let's go to Daniel's call here before we talk to Rita again about pepper plants. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. My question is this. I purchased some nursery pepper plants and some nursery tomato plants, and I have them side by side, same conditions, and the tomato plants are thriving and the pepper plants are still about the same size as when I planted them, and their leaves are kind of yellowish-green, and they just don't seem to be thriving, and I'm just kind of curious for some advice on how to move forward.
Yes, this is actually, Daniel, this is happening to our farm as well. Seems like the peppers are just a little bit behind than they were last year, but our tomatoes are doing wonderfully.
Yeah, I don't think it's been quite warm enough yet consistently for peppers to be truly happy. So I wouldn't be too discouraged yet. It's just hope for some warmer weather. And are you watering your garden?
I haven't been.
Okay. Well,
I've
and
been
that's
kind of leaving them alone.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, you may want to check to make sure that they, you know, this last week we haven't gotten a lot of rain, at least here in Des Moines. So you may want to check the soil conditions to see if they need a little water. But you don't want to overwater peppers either. They really don't like to be wet all the time. And so the yellowing leaves could be simply because it could be, you know, just something that's happening because of the stress of transplanting. Or it could be a situation where they're a little dry or a little too wet. So check the soil. I think it's, was it Mark White that came on here one time? He says he uses his digital soil moisture meter, which is his finger. And make sure you stick it down in the soil. Make sure that that top layer, at least to the first or first knuckle or so, is damp. If it's not, you can go ahead and water them. Just make sure you don't overwater. But it really hasn't been hot enough yet for peppers to really take off, and I think that's probably what you're experiencing.
Well, thank you very much for confirming what I thought was happening.
All right.
Good
luck. Thanks for your call, Daniel.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Well, Rita, we've been talking a lot about your garden and about the garden tour. Can you remind folks again the day and the time and where they can get tickets?
Absolutely. I'd love to. June 21st, next Saturday, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. And they can get tickets. Tickets are actually $15 a piece. And you can buy them at Earl May Garden Centers, at Good Greenhouses, at Herndon's Des Moines Seed Nursery, and the Woodsmith Store Garden Center. Or you can go on our website, pcmgtour.com.
Yeah, and we have all that information up on our website at whoradio.com as well, so you can always go there to see that, as well as pictures of Rita's garden. I saw on the Master Gardener's tour page that they have pictures from the 2013 gardens, mm-hmm. but they don't have any pictures from the 2014 garden yet. So if you want a sneak peek, you're going to have to take a look at our website.
Yes.
But make sure you go over to the tour website as well to get information about where to get the tickets. And they're all kind of centered west and south of downtown Des Moines this year, in the Drake and south of Grand neighborhoods. So hopefully you get a chance next week, and hopefully the weather is beautiful for you guys.
Oh, we mm-hmm. hope so. Yes. Yes.
Anything like this weekend, it would be perfect.
It would be. Yesterday was the perfect day for the pre-tour. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, when we're looking at some of these pictures, and you talked about one of the other gardens, I want to talk to you a little bit, and maybe we can do this after our break. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that you're doing in your garden, and how do you, you know, where do you find the time to get some of this done? Because I look at this garden, I think, wow, you must spend hours in this thing. But we can talk more about that in just a little bit. We're going to take our next break. We'll be back to answer more of your questions and talk with Rita about her garden and the Polk County Master Gardeners tour coming up next Saturday here on Gardening Today, News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning and welcome back to Gardening Today. I'm Jessica Kropika here in the studio with Aaron Style and our special guest, Rita Perea, talking about her beautiful gardens. And we're just a reminder, too, if you have any gardening questions or comments for us, the phone number is 1-800-469-4295. If you're in the local Des Moines area, it is 284-1040. Or if you would prefer, you can go ahead and send us a text at 515-989-1040.
Yeah, and we had Rick join us on the line here. So let's go to his call, see what's on his mind. Good morning, Rick.
Morning.
What can we help you with this morning?
Well, I called in about a month ago after we'd had a frost on May 17th in Decorah.
Uh-huh.
You'd given me some advice on maybe trying to save my tomato plant.
Yeah.
And asked me to call back and see how that went.
Yeah, how did it all go?
Well, not very well. They were turtle crows down through the ground. Out of the 24 plants, I was able to save two of them by trimming back the frosted area and kind of nursing them along. But I replaced the rest of them. So I didn't have much luck, but it was a tough late season frost there.
Yeah,
it was.
The good news is at least the season has been pretty late in general, so it's given you probably plenty of time to find some stuff and get them replanted.
Yeah, I did replant them, and they're doing
Good.
I'm in too much of a hurry, I guess.
Yeah, and I understand that completely. Well, thanks for the update, Rick.
Sure, thank you.
It's great to hear from you. All right. Well, and I know that there were a few people got hit by some late frost things, and my garden got hit really hard by bunnies this year. And I spent all this time growing all my great tomatoes, and then in the process of, you know, I don't have a lot of rabbit issues in my yard, but apparently I had just moved my vegetable garden, and it was a spot that they like, and they got me really got rid of all my plants, and so I had to end up replanting everything. Thankfully, I had grown enough, and I had decided, I don't know if it was my infinite wisdom or just my laziness, I didn't get rid of the extra seedlings I had, and so I was able to replant most of it from that stuff. So we're going to say it's my infinite wisdom. I knew that this was something that might happen. I should hold on to these little seedlings and make sure that they get established before I get rid of them. And
exactly.
That's what I did.
Or you caught a lucky break here in style.
Exactly. Okay, so Rita, we've been talking a lot about your garden as part of the Polk County Master Gardeners garden tour coming up next week. And we've been looking at some of the stuff that we have up on our website. And this garden looks like a lot of work. When do you work on this garden?
Well... I consider myself a weekend warrior, to tell you the truth. Uh-huh. As I said, I design the gardens, I install them, and I maintain them all by myself with the help of my husband and my son, who is a certified arborist. Mm-hmm. The three of us just really, we spend our entire weekends just doing this. Now, I'm really fortunate. I own a leadership and management consulting group in West Des Moines, and so I'm self-employed. So for the last 4 weeks, I've been able to manage my clients so that I could take this time off to really focus on the gardens right now. So, you know, it's joyful. It's really joyful work. It's good physical exercise. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, sometimes can be mentally challenging as well, mm-hmm. but it's very, very joyful work.
Well, and the work pays off because, I mean, it looks like you spend, you have a whole crew of people who spend time in this place. And so it's nice. And it probably speaks a lot to the garden design, too, because a well-designed garden is easier to maintain. And I think that's probably what plays into some of this as well. You design the garden all, you know, you're not using outside consultants or anything like that, right?
No. I only use outside consultants for the hardscape install, mm-hmm. for the things that are too hard for me or I don't have any expertise in that area. That's when I bring in some outside consultants. Now, with the Master Gardeners, I was fortunate enough to have a few volunteers recently to help me do some weeding, and that was very much appreciated. Yes. And I must say, we are up to 550 bags of mulch that we've laid. Yes. So, the gardens can take a lot of time and a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to see, and I know you're not the only one who's been putting all this hard work into their garden. There's seven other folks who are on the tour
absolutely.
Who've also been slaving away for the last almost year getting ready for this tour. So I have a feeling that folks will be really, really surprised and inspired by what they see if they go on the tour. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we had Carol join us on the line here. Let's go to Carol's call and see what is on her mind. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I have some Rosa Sharon bushes, but I wasn't as fortunate as the earlier caller who came back. I have four of them that are on my in my backyard, kind of a nice screen for my neighbors.
Sure.
I've got only one of them that really has any growth at all on it.
Okay.
So I'm wondering whether I should save. I'm thinking I'm going to save the one that does have some growth after hearing that you said they were pretty hardy.
Yeah.
And then I'm wondering if you had some suggestions for a replacement that would be kind of not necessarily flowering, but an upright grower like that that would be not a real thick or hedge, but a nice screen kind of.
Sure. And what's the location like? Is sunny, shady, wet, dry?
Mostly it's the west side of the house. I get afternoon sun. I do have a tree, but it's probably 20 to 30 feet away, so they get pretty much sun in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'll let Jessica and even Rita, if you have any ideas, you can chime in. For me, one of the things that I would probably plant in this situation for a hedge, knowing what it is that you're looking for, are most, if not all, of the viburnums would make a really nice
Absolutely.
Hedge. I'm thinking in particular a very easy to grow plant with some multi-season interest would be the arrowwood viburnum. Mm-hmm. It's a very twiggy shrub, so even in the winter it can provide some kind of privacy. It has nice flowers in the spring, gets a very nice ornamental fruit that the birds love, and a pretty decent red fall color, especially some of the newer cultivars like Blue Muffin and Raspberry Tart.
Yes, yes.
That would be a plant I would look into. It would be about the same size as your Rose of Sharon was as well. So I don't know, Jessica, do you have any other suggestions for?
Well, I really do like the viburnum idea, especially because that's such a multi-season interest plant.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could think about doing a forsythia if it's a smaller one. You know, like, for instance, we planted show-off forsythia at the farm.
Sure.
And it only gets about 5 feet tall. Okay. Some of the other ones can get really tall and I think a little ratty. So
I do have a forsythia in the front that's kind of in that same category.
Okay. Well, there are some improvements over some of the recent, you know, there's a lot of recent breeding going on with those plants.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to look for, this one in particular is a proven selection from Proven Winners.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of nice kind of large deciduous shrubs. Witch hazel could be really nice. Very early blooming, but a nice kind of green backdrop. Many of the, I don't know if I would put a lilac in this situation. It sounds like it only gets afternoon sun, which they probably wouldn't necessarily love, but they would tolerate that. But my first choice would definitely be the viburnums.
Okay. And that was arrowwood?
Arrowwood viburnum.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Carol.
Sure.
All right. I don't know. I mean, do you have a situation like this in your garden, Rita?
You know, I just planted four of the
Blue Muffin.
Mm-hmm. Blue Muffin next to some arrowwood, and I love them. They're beautiful. I had some winter kill on a really big juniper.
Uh-huh.
And so I planted some grasses in amongst it, and then I planted the viburnums in amongst the juniper. And it looks magical.
Oh, I bet the texture is really nice with that, too. Arrowwood viburnum kind of has a medium size but very broad, kind of rounded, little bit oval leaf. And that contrasted with the juniper, I bet, looks very nice.
Yes, it does. It does. And they're blooming right now, too, the arrowwood. So pretty.
Yeah.
And the birds love them.
You know, another one of my favorite viburnums, it's not an arrowwood viburnum. It's actually a withrod type or a one that's closely related to the withrod viburnum is there's a couple cultivars, one called Brandywine and one called Winneter. Beautiful, beautiful shrubs, dark, glossy leaves that don't get a lot of insect or disease issues. Beautiful fruit and amazing fall color, just really spectacular fall color. So that would be another one that you might find in the garden centers. All right, we're going to take our next break. I think we're going to go over to Cheryl Pannier over at Gray's Lake, and she's going to talk more about what's going on there. And we'll be back in just a few minutes to talk more about gardening here on Gardening Today, News Radio 1040 WHO.
Good morning. Welcome back to our few couple minutes that we have left on today's program. Jessica Krupika with Aaron Style in the studio, and we had a text come in from TJ. Last year, some of my tomatoes turned black on the bottom while they were still on the vine. What's up with that?
Yeah, this was a problem I think a lot of folks ran into last year, and it's an issue called blossom end rot. The bottom end, the end opposite of where the stem attaches, starts to decay on the vine. It's a product of inconsistent moisture. If you look it up online, you'll find that blossom end rot is caused by calcium deficiency, and it's not necessarily because calcium is deficient in the soil or the plant. It's because the water hasn't been consistent enough to deliver that calcium where it's needed. So it's the solution is not to add calcium in most situations, and you would have to do a soil test to know for sure. In most situations, the solution is consistent watering, and that will prevent things like blossom end rot. And last year, the summer started really wet and ended really dry, and that caused a lot of problems for folks. So if you do good, consistent watering, you shouldn't have the problem again this year.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Rita, it's been a pleasure to have you in today to talk about your garden and the Polk County Master Gardeners tour that's coming up. Can you give us, in the last few minutes of the program here, can you give us the details of the tour so folks can come see your beautiful garden next
Absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely. It's been a delight to be with you today. I really appreciate it. Next weekend, and that's Saturday, June 21st, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and tickets are $15 a piece. You can buy them at Earl May Garden Center, at Good Greenhouses, at Herndon's Des Moines Seed Nursery, the Woodsmith Store Garden Center, or online at pcmgtour.com. Yeah. And we'd love it if everyone would come on out. We're expecting about 1,000 people to come through the gardens in one day.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yes.
That would be, I mean, not for your garden. You're going to have to replace some turf probably.
Oh, no, it'll be great.
Well, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to give maybe a couple minutes worth of some parting advice. You know, this is a garden you spent many years on, but you started where a lot of gardeners start, without a lot of knowledge and with a fairly blank canvas of a yard. If you knew somebody who was going to give some advice to somebody on what they would do if they wanted to start down this kind of road towards a beautiful garden like you have, what would you tell folks?
I would tell them two things. The first thing, as in real estate, location, location, location. it's all about where you place the plants, sun, shade, what their requirements are. That's really important. The second thing is I don't put anything in my garden that I don't absolutely love. And that includes the water features, the statuary, the plants, even, you know, if you get something from Aunt Edna for Christmas, if you don't absolutely love it, you know, find another place for it. Because these things that we plant and have in our gardens, we'll be looking at them quite a bit. So those would be my two pieces of advice.
Oh, I like that. Don't put anything in your garden you don't absolutely love. I should take that advice for myself, probably. I have a few things in my garden that I don't absolutely love, but are there. Mm. I didn't plant them there, but they're there.
You're tolerating them
for
right now.
I'm tolerating. I can do better than that. That's good. I like that. Yes. Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, you know, that brings us to the top of the hour, and that brings us to the end of another program. We are going to be back again next week to talk more and answer more of your questions. As always, you can send us questions over the week. All of our information and contact info is up on our website at whoradio.com, as well as information about things we've talked about on today's show and past shows if you scroll down through the different postings from different programs. We'll be back again next week, though, and we'll be talking more about what's going on in your garden and answering your questions here on Gardening Today, News Radio 1040 WHO.